Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast where I, your host, Scott McNulty, discuss a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. My guest tonight is Alien Sims, and thank you for joining me.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here again.
I'm happy
to not watch an Enterprise episode again. That thrilled me.
Your streak continues. yes, this is, we watched, we'll get to this. Before we get to that, why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about what we watched.
Oh, I don't know. Lately, this question is really, really hard. So, ooh. I'm Aline. I live in the Phoenix, Arizona area. I like long walks on the beach and my cats.
Your cats like going on the beach?
No, they don't. They actually do not like going outside. They're pretty terrified of the outer realm. No, I'm a writer and educator and App Camp for Girls volunteer organizer, I guess is a quick summary.
No, and a frequent incomparable panelist.
And frequent incomparable panelist, that is true.
And you wrapped up recently-ish, I suppose, you had a podcast.
I did. I had 100 episodes of a show where I got to talk to fascinating people about the things that they love to do. And that was on the Relay FM podcasting network. The show is called Less Than or Equal. And it is, to use an icky marketing term, an evergreen show. So it wasn't about news and views. It was all about talking about people and making connections. So if you haven't checked out Less Than or Equal, it is still good and still pertinent today.
And check it out. There'll be a link in the show notes for those of you who don't want to Google less than or equal.
Math problems. You get math problems when you do that.
That is true. Yeah. I forget it. Less than or equal. That's the mouth is pointed away from the bigger number. Is that right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then there's a little line under it.
That's the one. Good. I'm very impressed.
Well, I have an English degree, so I pat myself on the back for remembering which way the mouth faces.
The mouth goes.
But we're not here to talk about math, shockingly enough. Although we
so
could.
So weird.
It would be a short podcast.
No, we couldn't. I am a writer. Let's not do that.
Math is hard.
Math is hard.
We are here to talk about Star Trek, which is better than math.
It is.
Although I imagine many people who are interested in math are interested in Star Trek.
Well, and I was thinking also math does play a role in Star Trek. We don't see it on screen all that frequently, but there are many calculations that get done.
That's true. The computer's always doing calculations. And one assumes that the Starfleet officers are probably far better at math than I am. I hope.
One would hope. Who knows? I don't know how far computers have advanced by then, but...
I don't know. But there's very little math in this episode that we have watched called Barge of the Dead, which is one of those rare Klingon Voyager episodes. Usually when I think of Klingon-focused episodes, I think of Deep Space Nine.
Me too.
But Voyager apparently got in on the action.
Got to use B'Elanna's backstory for all it's worth sometimes.
I guess so. So this is season 6, episode 3, so late in Voyager's run, their final season, of course, season 7. So this is when the previous episode of Random Trek, we talked about a season 6 Next Generation episode. So I think the same things we said about that kind of apply here in that. I won't spoil you about what I thought of this episode, but certainly everyone, all the actors are well within their characters. They're comfortable. They're believable. That's not any issue. If there are issues with this episode, I think, you know, B'Elanna, we know B'Elanna, and that's why this kind of thing can work in this late season episode, right? Because if you didn't know, I think this would have been a horrible first or second season episode, because B'Elanna was mostly just the angry engineer lady for the first couple of seasons. And this episode assumes that she's been fleshed out, because she has, and that you know a little bit about her backstory, and now we learn even more about it from this episode, which is great, because I like B'Elanna, so hooray for that.
Yeah, I think the beef I have with B'Elanna as the seasons go on is that they really relied on Tom in a relationship with Tom Paris to soften out her character and make her seem more I don't know, relatable. And so that's my beef with B'Elanna in Voyager. I like that she's angry, and I like that she's just like, she does what she thinks is the right thing to do, mm-hmm. you know, whether it is or not, you know, whatever. But she does what she thinks is right. She behaves with integrity all the time. But they made her really, really hard in early episodes. And then it was like, oh, well, now she's in love and Tom can talk reason into her. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know if I appreciate that aspect of their relationship or not.
But Tom Paris. Tom Paris in general. So,
he's not my favorite character, but,
I don't know.
He's not my least favorite either.
Well, he's not my least favorite, and we all know my least favorite character is Neelix on Voyager, followed by Harry Kim. I had to block out his name for a moment.
Block out the memory.
That's right. Harry Kim plays a very small part in this episode. Neelix plays a small part as well, but he is it's like super Neelix-y. So the good thing about late season Star Trek episodes is that the characters are so ingrained and the actors are so good at being those characters. The bad thing is if you have a horrible character like Neelix, the actor's doing a great job of being Neelix, but Neelix is just bad. If you ask me.
I didn't have a problem with Neelix until he was abusive. And then I was like,
yeah. Creepy Kes relationship, Neelix and Kes.
Very creepy and weird.
Yes, I didn't like that. And this episode, he is kind of like the tour guide for Klingon Hell, which made me laugh. Because, of course, if you're going to be apropos. In Hell, Neelix is going to greet you.
Ouch.
Be like, what's up, everybody? Now, this episode is also a rare Star Trek. Well, maybe not rare, but I feel like Star Trek handles religion with kid gloves in many ways, or maybe not even. I think maybe Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry certainly kind of said, you know, in the future, no one's going to have religion. We're kind of gone past it. So and in the early original series episodes, all the religious kind of characters were looked at askew, perhaps, or askew. Now, I am not a religious person myself, but I know that faith is very important to many people. So it seemed like a big omission in Star Trek, because I think in the future there's still going to be religion. And that's okay.
He with Deep Space Nine, he had to have been rolling over in his grave, though.
Yes.
I was thinking about it, actually, as Justin, my husband, and I were watching this episode, was how not spiritual and not religious I am, because this episode doesn't resonate with me in a lot of ways because of that.
And yeah, and I mean, the Klingon, so the Deep Space Nine, the Bajorans, it's all, they're all about religion all the time, which is fine, but their religion is very spiritual. And, you know, the wormhole aliens are there, so their gods actually exist, so that's great for them. I've always thought of the Klingon, at least the Klingon, you know, mythos that we learn, it feels like Klingons aren't super spiritual, but they're big into mythology.
Yes. Yeah. No, I would say that. Well, I don't know, though, if you think about The Next Generation and Worf, I think that spirituality looks different to them than it does to us, maybe. Mm-hmm. But he is, I would say, very, very religious. He's all about, like, the caverns and the sweating and the batleth and the pain sticks. And
they have a lot of rituals that they have, and it's intertwined and they're deeply baked into their society. So it's kind of like, that's why I think of it as more mythology than religion, just because it's such an everyday part of their life. And it's so B'Elanna, of course, is half Klingon, half human, and she is not super into her Klingon half. And I think she says something in here about the only thing she inherited from her mother was, who was Klingon, was the forehead and anger management issues or something like that.
Yeah, I wrote that quote down too because it made me laugh.
And I thought, yeah, that pretty much sums it up. And so this episode is interesting because it is really an exploration of B'Elanna's two halves and how she can come to terms with it, and kind of embracing her Klingon half. But also, it is a psychotic episode.
Yeah, it's very fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I came to realize actually as I was watching this episode is I don't like dream sequences.
Oh.
And most of this episode is like a dream sequence.
Yes.
Because I think my brain just goes for what makes sense and what seems logical. I'm always trying to ferret out logic.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode is very kind of all over the place, and there are continuity, not errors because it's a dream sequence, right? But there are continuity weird things that happen. I don't know. I just think I have a hard time watching these types of episodes.
Yes. And I thought this episode, so you can play this episode in a couple of ways, I think, or write it, I should say, in that it can kind of affirm the fact that, the Klingon afterlife exists, and that B'Elanna's actually experiencing these things, and she's really on the barge of the dead going off towards Grethor. Or she is having, she's unconscious and her mind is just generating this to deal with the fact that she's unconscious, right? And it's taking, she's been hurt. The branding and all that is just kind of, her mind dealing with the extreme situation she's in, that she then puts herself into purposefully later to revisit so she can save her mother. And I thought, well, it's interesting. I thought that this episode would be one of those episodes where they don't really tell you one way or the other. Is it really just a dream, or was she really there? Because there's a point where she she's hurt on the barge of the dead, and then she wakes up in sickbay and she looks at her hand and it's cut just like it was in her, quote unquote dream. So they think, oh, maybe that's, she actually was there, but then they're like, no, we got you out of the shuttlecraft, and you were all beat up and cut all over the place. So you can explain away that. And then at the end, she meets her mother, spoiler alert. And then her mother says, we'll meet again. And B'Elanna's like, oh, when we go to Stobakor, which is Klingon heaven. And her mother says, yes, or perhaps when you come home. And you think, well, if they meet when she goes home, then her mother wasn't dead, so she couldn't have met her on the barge of the dead. And so that led me to believe it was all just a hallucination.
Yeah, it's with Star Trek, it's so hard to tell because there are so many things that seem like they should be hallucinations that turn out not to be, at least in the realm of the thing. And that's actually one thing I love about Star Trek so much is that, there's this episode of The Next Generation where Deanna Troi is hearing like this music box music, and it's like literally driving her crazy, and nobody else can hear it. And instead of being like, oh, okay, you need to be committed, like we'll get you a therapist on the holodeck or something.
Yes.
They're like, okay, let's figure out what's going on. And the same thing happens again in The Next Generation with Beverly Crusher. There's an episode where she's hearing voices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. It's like, okay, we need to figure out what's going on, and not, you are clearly unbalanced. You clearly need some psychological help right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's a result of like the state of their technology, because they can scan brains and figure things out. I don't know. But it's something that I really appreciate about Star Trek is the people are believed, which true. I find kind of a rare thing.
Although in this, so this episode is interesting because it's kind of like, there's a fake out at the beginning, right? So she comes back. She's been, she being B'Elanna is, I guess she was following a probe and it went into an ion storm. So she went after it. She got beat up and then, she came back to the ship safely. And I really like the shot, in the beginning where she's flying into the shuttle bay. I thought it was really cool, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. And then they find this piece of metal that has stuck in her engine and it has a Klingon, symbol on it. And they're like, ooh, how did the Klingons get out here? We have to figure this out. They leave it in B'Elanna's quarters, and it starts to bleed, and she starts hearing Klingon voices, which is unusual, yes. To say the least. Metal doesn't usually bleed, and you don't usually hear invisible Klingons, I assume. I'm not half Klingon, so I'm assuming this doesn't happen often.
Seemed pretty unusual.
Yes. And so she does what an engineer would do, right? She goes down to engineering with the piece of metal, and she gathers up Harry Kim, and she's like, okay, we're going to scan the hell out of this thing and figure out what's going on. Which is
Harry just wants to go to bed.
Harry Kim is not super into it. And that, I think that's interesting because you said before that on TNG, the crew is always like, yes, we believe you. Let's try and figure out what's going on. Harry Kim is kind of like, maybe you hit your head a little too hard. I just want to go to sleep.
Yeah, but you got to consider the source of Harry Kim.
Well, that is
true. To be frank.
Harry Kim, not the best source of anything.
He is not, no.
So he doesn't really believe her. But it turns out, which is interesting, trademark turns out, that this, and then she ends up on the Barge of the Dead, which is a typical Klingon set in that it's too dark and you can't really see what's going on. I don't understand why everything is so dark with the Klingons.
It makes that design so much less expensive because you can just hide it in the shadows.
That is, I'm sure, one of the reasons.
Yeah.
But I find it annoying because I can never tell what the heck's going on. but it is very atmospheric. So she's clearly on like a ship, like a sailing ship, and you think, well, this is weird. It's full of Klingons, also weird. They try to brand her cheek, which is kind of weird. It doesn't work.
The Klingons.
Yeah, it's in keeping with the Klingon tradition. And then you find out, oh, this is basically, you know, like the boatman on the River Styx. And so she's going off to hell, not to Sobelcor, because of her great dishonor. And then we find out many wonderful things about the Klingon mythology, like they basically have sirens that try to lure you out of the Barge of the Dead so that you will fall into the water and worse things than death will happen to you.
The bad CGI water. It wasn't even real water. The water does not hold up.
It
looked good at the time.
It did. It did. They have not remastered Voyager episodes, yeah. And that shows. Although there's an interesting exchange. So there's another Klingon there. Well, there are a bunch of Klingons, but basically B'Elanna's been has to kneel on the deck by a barge of the dead crew member. And she's kneeling next to another Klingon. And she's like, where the heck am I? And the Klingon's like, well, you're on the Barge of the Dead and we're going to hell. And she says, that's made up. And he said, I thought so too. Imagine my surprise when I woke up here. And I thought, oh, see, we get these little glimpses into, because most of the Klingons that we meet are all about honor, and they all want to, you know, beat people up and do whatever it is Klingons want to do. But then there's some variety in Klingons. This Klingon didn't really think that the mythology was true. Turns out, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We don't know.
Yeah, I also thought that was interesting because, again, we get, like, I don't know, Garak and Worf, and you know, definitely all about honor and pain sticks. And so it is nice to have like the Klingon version of Aline, who's like, yeah, I don't think that's so true after all.
Yes, and there's a good episode of Enterprise in which I don't remember the name of it, but Captain Archer ends up being prosecuted by Klingons, and we see that his lawyer is a failed warrior, and no one respects him because he's a lawyer. Well, he's not a failed lawyer. A failed warrior. He never wanted to be a warrior. He always wanted to be a lawyer, which in fact makes him a failed Klingon because everybody wants to be a warrior. And they make the comment that it's hard to run a society when everyone wants to be a warrior. You kind of need other people to do stuff too.
Turns out.
Yes. But that's another episode of a completely different series. But the interest, so this thing really, I think this episode is really about B'Elanna and her relationship with her mother.
And her relationship with herself.
That's true.
Like how she views herself.
Mm-hmm. And they show that to us by having her mom show up on the Barge of the Dead. and there's much consternation about why her mom is going to hell. Because we learn that her mom is super Klingon-y, and all into the honor and the mythology. And that's what basically, it wasn't clear to me if her parents were married or not. But it doesn't really matter if they were together. And then apparently, at least the way B'Elanna sees it, which is, of course, you know, you have to think about, you know, B'Elanna's lens. She basically says, my parents broke up because my mom was always going on and on about Klingon stuff, and my father didn't care about it. Which is like, well, if you don't care about Klingon stuff, maybe you shouldn't be in a relationship with a Klingon.
Right, yeah. Have a child.
Exactly. Seems like it's a big part of their life.
Yep.
But who am I to judge this fictional character who we don't even get a name of? But yeah,
Polana's mom.
Polana's mom. We get her name, Muriel. Muriel.
Oh right, that's right.
We don't get her father's name.
Dad. We don't know. Yeah,
it's probably like Stanley or something. And so she shows up, and Polana's like, "OMG, why are you here? You've always been honorable, and you know you actually know about all this crap." And it turns out, once again, another turns out in Klingon culture. I guess parents have to pay for the sins of their children too. So since B'Elanna is not honorable, whatever that means, her mother has to go to hell.
Which is wow. You want to talk about some pressure on your parenting? Like, I've got to atone for my sins and your sins. And how does that work out? So both parents, or both B'Elanna and her mom, have to go to hell because B'Elanna's awful.
Mm-hmm.
So does that span generations too? Like, has B'Elanna damned her entire family tree?
That was my question. Like, so if B'Elanna, well, we know B'Elanna has a kid with Tom Paris, right? So that's, I think she does. Am I making that up? Maybe they do. I don't know. At some point, if she does, or if she did, that would be a quarter Klingon, if I know my genetics correctly.
Yeah.
So then does that mean that her kid, no matter what she does, is damned to go to hell too?
Right.
Unless you do this transference ritual thing.
Wow. That's a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure. And it seems like everybody would just end up in hell because it's like the weakest link of the chain.
And then condemns your entire ancestry.
Exactly. Everybody, you know, people are hanging out in Stubblecore being happy, and then all of a sudden they show up on the Barge of the Dead because, you know, their jerk 14th cousin or something did something wrong.
Not they a good just roll way. Their eyes. They're like, I don't even know this jerk. What?
Exactly. Why am I here? I was good. Right. I was hanging out with Kalis in Stubblecore.
Drinking blood wine.
Drinking blood wine.
That was great. Yes.
It's true. And so this episode, and so yeah, the first part, you think, oh, it's you know, she's on the ship. These things are happening. She has this interesting conversation with, I'm completely blanking on the Vulcan's name. What is his name?
Oh, I can't. I'm not that's good not with good. Names.
Yeah. The Vulcan guy whose name apparently I cannot remember. I want to say T'Pol, but that's the Enterprise lady.
Oh, Tuvok.
Tuvok, there you go. Sorry, Tuvok. He basically, I guess B'Elanna is turning to him to kind of talk about it because he is one of the few non-humans on the crew. The other choice, I suppose, is Neelix, but who wants to talk to Neelix about these things?
Not Scott.
No. And Tuvok basically says, hey, you hate yourself. Everybody knows it. And that's probably the problem. And B'Elanna's like, whoa, Tuvok, couldn't you like couch it a little bit?
Yeah. Wasn't it like, you call this therapy?
Yes.
It's like, well, okay.
Yeah. And then he's like, look at this Batleth. What do you think of it? And she's like, it's clumsy and overpowered like Klingons. And then Tuvok shows her that her hatred of Klingons is, you know, making her blind to the fact that it's a very effective weapon. And he's suddenly a Batleth expert. And he's, which I guess makes sense because he's a security officer and he's flinging it around. And then in an odd moment, he cuts her cheek with the Batleth. And at that point, I thought, and I don't think I'd seen this episode before I watched it for this podcast. I thought something strange is happening here because I don't think Tuvok would just attack her.
Well, and Tuvok is rarely that blunt, too. He can be not provoked exactly, but he's usually far more an observer and circuitous about things than he is just like flat out. You hate yourself.
And here's why. And so then they have this. So she's still on the Voyager. You think she's fine, though she's hearing things. She's seeing some Klingons out of the corner of her eye, basically. And I guess in celebration of some Klingon holiday or something, Captain Janeway has decided that there's going to be a big Klingon celebration. Neelix has replicated a bunch of blood wine and everyone's going to sing Klingon songs and there's a fire and everybody's happy.
And worms.
And worms. God.
All the worms.
All the worms you can eat. They're replicated. Mm-hmm. But Neelix has found a way to make them move around, so...
Thank goodness. I mean...
Thanks, Neelix.
You're right.
And then it gets weird, because a bunch of Klingons come and kill everybody, and she ends up back on the death barge, or the barge of death, or whatever the heck it's called. And that's where we find out there's this thing that happens for Klingons right before you die. As you're trying to make sense of your death, your head basically just creates this illusion or this hallucination that's supposed to ease you into being dead. Although it seems a rather violent passage.
Although that's how Klingon wants to go, right? Yeah,
that's true. So... but it's not really easing you into anything. It's like you have this weird thing where incongruous things start adding up and then everybody dies.
Which was, it was very violent.
It was very violent. Everybody, you got to see, if for no other reason than to see your least favorite Voyager characters die, this is a good episode to watch because they all get murdered, except for B'Elanna.
Yeah, and she just kind of stands there.
Yeah, well, she's like, they do that slow-mo thing. So she was yelling to the captain to watch out for the Klingon that's about to kill her. But she's in slow motion. Everybody else is not. And so she can't save them.
Okay, that's valid.
I think she wanted to. But she wasn't because she was hallucinating. And then she goes to the Barge of Death. And then she leaves the Barge of Death because she actually she was hallucinating the whole time. And now we're actually on Voyager, which I thought was interesting. And they say, you were hallucinating or you were almost dead. We revived you. And she's like, no, I was completely dead and I was on the Barge of Death and I need to go back because my mom is there and I need to save her. And everyone's like, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Which it is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And so Tom doesn't really – he's not on board with this idea because basically her idea is – I need to go back to the Barge of Death. They said it wasn't my time, but I have to go back to save my mother so I can do this transference ritual so that she won't go to hell and I will go to hell for her because I guess she's going to go to hell anyway, so what does it matter? And Tom is like, whoa, suddenly you're like super Klingon belief lady. you always thought all this stuff was stupid, but now it is really important. And she's like, well, I actually experienced it, so I guess now I'm a believer. But did she experience
it? Which happens, right?
That's true. Although I think I always thought that, you know, the biggest part of faith is that you just accept it without having to experience it. So maybe it's cheapened a little bit, which actually they kind of get to that point when she goes back and talks to her mother. And so the crux of the thing, though, that makes people kind of uneasy is she says, listen, you're going to have to almost kill me so that I can go back to the death barge and then you can bring me back and I'll cheat death and everybody will win. I'll save my mom and everybody's happy.
You can't cheat death.
You can't cheat death, B'Elanna.
Yep.
But
we all know this.
We do, except for B'Elanna, apparently. She's like, hey, Captain Janeway, BT dubs, would it be okay? The doctor says he can totally replicate the conditions. And it's important for my religion all of a sudden that I do this. So I'm just really telling you that I'm going to do it, not asking permission. In which Captain Janeway is like, you know, we all, you know, faith, matters of faith are important and people's religions are important. But if your religion told you to sacrifice a child every day, I wouldn't let you do that either. B'Elanna doesn't like that analogy.
I wouldn't either.
It is a little harsh, but you get what Janeway is trying to say. She's trying to jar B'Elanna from her course of action by just kind of saying, listen, you basically want to kill yourself so that you can go back to this hallucination and save your fake mother from fake Klingon hell. She doesn't say that, though, because she wants to respect her beliefs, but I'm pretty sure... Captain Janeway, not a religious lady.
Yeah, I do get that impression as well.
So she basically is like, this is crazy, but I respect you and I don't want you to get angry. But as with, you know, B'Elanna is B'Elanna and B'Elanna's going to do what B'Elanna wants. So at least she does it with the doctor and in a safe environment. So, yep, she gets into sick bay. They kill her, basically, although she's not dead. She's very close to being dead.
Just enough oxygen to keep her brain from necrotizing, which is important. Was a lovely little line there.
Yes, the doctor with his medical knowledge to make sure that we don't think she's dead. And then she goes back and she's like, oh, why are you still here, Mom? I did the ritual and everything to save you. And her mom is like, I don't want you to save me. And plus, you don't really get it. You don't get it, B'Elanna. You have to. And that's the point I'm making about the faith, right? That B'Elanna doesn't. She sees it as I checked all the boxes.
Right.
I did the stupid things that I had to do. So you shouldn't be going to hell anymore. WTF.
Right.
And that's, I mean, as I said earlier, I'm not a religious person, but part of my journey into becoming non-religious, I was raised Roman Catholic. That's not the part of it, but it is, I guess, part of it. And, you know, for many religions, rituals are important. Right. And for the Roman Catholics, going to church on Sunday is an important thing. And so I would go to church for years and years. I went to church, but I was just going to church because I had to go to church. I wasn't getting anything out of it. I wasn't really participating. It wasn't doing anything for me. And I came to a point where I thought, you know, I'm actually cheapening the church experience for the other people that actually believe in it because I'm just going through the motions. So I should just stop going. Because I think it's important. The rituals exist because they are kind of an external expression of your faith. And if you don't have the faith, then the ritual is meaningless.
Right.
And that's what B'Elanna... I don't know if B'Elanna actually learns that in this episode, but that, I think, is the lesson that we should take away from this episode. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
That Klingons are crazy.
I think the lesson is don't go into plasma storms, but...
but they only had that one probe.
But only one B'Elanna as well.
Well, that's true. And B'Elanna could probably make more probes.
Probably.
Yes. And so that's... I mean, they transfer. Everybody's happy, trying to think what happens next. Oh, this is... And then it gets kind of creepy, right? Because she... the transference thing doesn't work. Because she didn't read the fine print or something. I don't know. And then she
didn't believe.
She didn't believe. That's right. She didn't clap her hands. So Tinkerbell died. And she has to go to Grethor. The boat has reached Grethor. She wakes up. And you think, oh, she's back on Voyager. Everything's okay. But she is not on Voyager. She's in Grethor without, you know, all the traditional Klingon trappings. Really, what is hell to B'Elanna but continuing to be stuck on Voyager forever?
But with weird robotic Tom and Neelix.
And the Doctor.
Yeah.
And that just kind of made me, it was kind of poignant, but also very sad too, because there are people on Voyager that love B'Elanna and want to be her and are her friends, and yet in her mind, because I am still of the opinion that this was all just workings of her mind, the hell that she comes up with is being stuck on Voyager forever, which seems kind of sad, really, when you think about it.
Well, but it was also being stuck on Voyager with the weird wooden people,
well,
so you could also read that as a, like... The people who make it worthwhile are the fully fleshed out characters that we so know and love by season 6, and some that we know and don't love by season 6.
But they're fleshed out.
Right. They're fleshed out and dislikable.
Well, that's true. So you're saying, and I think this is true, this is kind of, there's the theory of the uncanny, right? Which is that you're in a familiar setting, but it's unfamiliar because something different is about it. You know, this is the whole uncanny valley with robots and CGI that looks like humans almost enough, but just you know something's wrong with them, so it makes it super creepy. And that's the same here, right? Because she's on Voyager, so it's very familiar, and yet... It is different, so she knows that is you could argue, and I think you're convincing me, that that's the real hell, that she is constantly reminded of what she had, but now she's stuck here, and she knows she will never get it again.
Yep.
So I guess it's not that sad, but it's still kind of sad.
It's still kind of sad.
But luckily, she wakes up. And
Again.
And I think she has a conversation. She wakes up on the death barge again. She has a conversation with her mother. And her mother says, this is when her mother says, we'll meet again. You've taken basically the first step on your spiritual Klingon journey, and we shall meet again. And B'Elanna's like, oh, you mean in Stovalkor, which is Klingon heaven. And her mother says, well, maybe you just when you get home, because this is probably a hallucination. She doesn't say that. And then she wakes up, sickbay, and everybody's happy to see her. She's not on a hell ship. She's on the regular Voyager. The episode ends. We think that's true. This could be another hallucination, but they ran out of time. So we miss the other where she then wakes up again. She goes to bed and then she wakes up and she's on the death barge again. It just happens.
So many context shifts.
It's true. And that's the episode where we learn, I guess, that the Klingons have some interesting ideas about how one gets to hell and gets out of hell.
And also that friendship is magic, because hell is Voyager without friends.
Yes.
One thing I think that, well, I don't know, now that I'm thinking about it, I was going to say something that I think supports the theory that this is all in B'Elanna's head, beyond the fact that I'm not a religious or spiritual person, is that the costume changes. So the first time she's there at the beginning, the first time she's on the Knot River Styx, mm-hmm. She's in her, like, her Voyager, her engineering uniform. When she goes back again, she's kind of in Klingon armor, regalia, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then at one point, her mom in there is...
Oh, yes.
She starts in the armor, and then later, she's wearing the... like, the Janeway's uniform, I think.
Yes.
I didn't look at the pips, but...
I looked at the pips, because she says she thinks she's in shadow, because everything's on shadow in the death barge, darn it. And B'Elanna's like, oh, Captain, thinking that somehow Captain Janeway had ended up on the barge. But it was her
mom. So I think that, like, her preparedness to go in maybe has impacted the outfit choices when she gets there, whether she's more armored or more vulnerable.
Mm. I also took that as possibly a reflection of how much she's believing in what is happening. Like when it's first, at first she doesn't know what to make of it. I'm being a Starfleet officer. She comes at it as this is probably a hallucination. But as she is going, she is embracing the fact that no, this is probably Klingon hell, and I need to do these rituals to save my mom. And so then when she shows up again, she's fully Klingoned out.
Okay, that's an interesting interpretation too. Yeah, and also I kind of like the set design of the barge itself, just because it is kind of what I would expect a Klingon death barge on a Faith River to look like. I think that it's very, very, I don't know, typical of what a Klingon would expect to see. Maybe a little bit less blood on the barge itself.
It is fully in the Klingon aesthetic, I think.
Yes.
The only thing that didn't work for me, other than the CGI water, was the ridiculous steering wheel for the ship. I just thought that looked stupid. But
How are she going to steer it?
I am not against the wheel. I just think the design of the wheel itself.
That particular one.
Just looked kind of dumb. But the minor point in what is, I think, an interesting, if not successful, episode of Voyager. Because I'm not sure what... I mean, it makes me think about a lot of stuff. And, I like it when Star Trek broaches the subject of spirituality and religion, just because I think they're very interesting topics and people have very strong opinions about them. So that makes it more interesting to me. But I don't know if this is particularly... well done. What did you think of it?
It isn't my favorite episode, and it's even of Voyager, which I don't know. I think all series of Star Trek are a little spotty. Some earlier seasons spottier than others, but I like Voyager overall. This episode, I don't know. Like I said earlier, I don't really like dream sequences. And this episode is essentially one really big dream sequence.
It's true.
And I just, but there are things I like about it. I do like kind of that confrontation of self that B'Elanna goes through, whether this is a real thing that's happening or whether it is, you know, her internal battle, I appreciate those episodes that are willing to tackle like the concept of identity and how we view ourselves and how we act and how we comport ourselves and what we believe. Mm-hmm. Just because I think that's really an important thing to do. And it's something that I think Star Trek does really well, that we have this removal from ourselves and our current culture and in mentalities. I think that it helps us kind of step back and view how we are now through kind of a softer lens. So overall, I say, you know, this isn't an episode I would go just to watch, but it's not an episode I would skip if it were, you know, if I were doing a rewatch. So it's, yeah, it's kind of in the middle for me.
Yeah, it has good moments. I like particularly the scene with Janeway and B'Elanna. I like most scenes with Janeway and B'Elanna because they have a good relationship. Yes. But when she's trying to convince Janeway to let her do this, and there's that moment where Janeway is like, it didn't really happen, so why are you bothering? And B'Elanna basically says, well, I think it did happen. It happened for me, so isn't that enough? And doesn't that make it real? Which is an interesting concept. I think the answer is no, it doesn't make it real, but it makes it real for you. So,
right.
Which is because, you know, you can see things that don't actually exist. And just because you see them doesn't mean they're actually there. But it's an interesting thing, and it was an interesting argument to have. But overall, I agree with you. I wouldn't necessarily say don't watch this episode. If you like Klingons, you want to learn more about Klingon mythology, and you don't want to watch a Deep Space Nine episode, this is a good episode to queue up on whatever streaming service of your choice you enjoy. But I don't really think there's any other reason to search out this episode in particular. There are many other B'Elanna episodes that are far superior to this.
Yeah, and it's not a pivotal episode either. It's definitely a character development episode, but it's not a, you know, super important for understanding what happens in Voyager episode.
No, and this episode, as we said earlier, really depends on or works best when you know B'Elanna. And so it's more, it rewards the viewer who knows about B'Elanna with giving more insight into B'Elanna, but it's not like, it doesn't give you any more insight into her, like the rest of Voyager. It's not, you know, you don't need to see this for the rest of the season to make sense. So yeah, there you go. It's kind of, it's a fine episode. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's got a lot of Klingons on it. So, there you go. And, some CGI water.
A lot of CGI water.
And just enough Neelix to make me annoyed.
To appreciate that he's not rampant throughout
yes.
the episode.
And a good use, I will give it this, a good use of Harry Kim. A good use of a tired, cranky Harry Kim.
Just Harry Kim at its best.
Exactly. Well, thank you for joining me.
Yes, thanks for having me again.